信来世万寿也大不忍阿弥陀你阿大愿弥
三千九段时期修南无向修佛陀当礼票三南无安卓拉宾杰三杰多巴拉修三千九段时期修南无向修佛陀当礼大吉修习杰杰三南无安卓拉宾杰三杰多巴拉修三千九段时期修南无向修佛陀当礼那个学习节约从那么几年多了很久三千多좋아나실아니가스나탐지섬나데중앙이봤어니산진서이니지면데주기나요태양조섬나데중앙바가나시아니지주기다너나주기은섬진섬진다주기섬진다아니내기직된탐지장은섬나데중앙봐봐어떤데숨안닿든다아니탐지탐지아니지다대도나서아니사상은선반전의중대와어떤대시가상다야가기아니지배도망부게는눈천대마동체당체은탐지선반하려어떤대시은숨도와
So if you remember in the last lesson we saw in the text you know,how it is said that all the qualities of Buddhahood, full enlightenment, which are you know, really indescribable and inconceivable, in essence, all these indescribable, inconceivable qualities of full enlightenment all arise from the mind. Likewise, you know, the world,the environment and all the inhabitants, the sentient beings, are all also basically a creation of the mind. Or they all arise from the mind. You know, and that includes all our experiences of happiness and suffering all arise from the mind. Yeah? And then many scriptural quotations by the various great Indian masters you know, were cited yeah, in the text yeah, in order to highlight this fact. So if you remember from our earlier discussion, we saw how basically everything arises from the mind, isn't it? Yeah. So at the end of the day, what is it that determines whether something is an existent or a non-existent? It has to be posited from the mental perspective of mind, isn't it? Yeah. So if it is observed or verified by a valid cognizer or a valid mind, then it is said to exist. It is said to be a phenomenon. Yeah. If it is not observed, not verified by a valid cognizer, then it is said to not exist. So basically, it boils down to whether something exists or not, boils down to the mind, isn't it?
In the mindset.
Right. And saying whether something is or is not, and a particular phenomenon, whether it is something or it is not something, it is also determined basically by mind, yeah. So whether something is or is not is ultimately decided or dependent on created by the mind, isn't it? Right? But having said that, it doesn't mean that whatever the mind conceives of, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, that thing exists, or it is necessarily so, or it is necessarily exists in the way it is conceived by the mind. And all the things that, you know, that the mind does not conceive of, that a particular mind does not conceive of, or does not think to exist, then it doesn't mean that the phenomena is non-existent. Yeah. So, in order to highlight this fact, therefore, there's a division of consciousness or minds into those that are valid and those that are not valid, right? So I guess this is the reason why there's a presentation of valid states of mind and non-valid states of mind, right? Non-valid minds, right? While it's true that ultimately everything is a creation of mind, determined by mind, whether something exists or not, whether something is or is not, is decided by mind. But it doesn't mean that whatever the mind conceives of, it doesn't mean that it exists, yeah? And it doesn't mean that whatever, you know, if it is not conceived of by a mind, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So therefore, I guess, you know, for this reason, in order to establish what is and what is not, to establish the thing that decides whether something is or it is not, that decides whether something exists or not, then there's this explanation, a detailed explanation, a look at the various kinds of mind, yeah? And ultimately, we look at mind in terms of those that are valid and those that are non-valid, yeah. Having said all this, no, we have to understand the main import of the main import of what we just discussed. It's not so much, to find out about, things that are outside of us, there's this and that and what have you. While it is true, but the main import, is that we apply this, to our own experience of happiness and suffering. That is the main thing to look at. Basically, all our happiness and all our suffering is a creation of our own mind, really. And at the end of it, if you look at it, what is it that causes suffering? Basically, it's our own afflictions, which then leads on to actions, karma. So, the karma and our afflictions, right? So this is the main import, the main thing that we have to understand, that all the happiness and the suffering that we experience basically is a creation of our own mind, right? They all arise from our own mind. And in particular, you understand the role of our afflictions and then our actions. Okay. So by gaining a good understanding of this point, having conviction in this, and then based on this conviction, then in our daily lives, then we apply mindfulness and vigilance, to guard and to protect our own minds. As I described in the last lesson, all our experiences of happiness and suffering comes from us believing, that all the things that appear to our mind are real, are true. Yeah. So by believing, by so real, apprehending, the appearance, to exist in the way it appears to us, it's like that. Then, all the feelings of pain and pleasure arise. So as I described the last lesson, isn't it? Yeah. Our experiences of pleasure and pain basically come from us, believing in all the various mental appearances, yeah. With all these different appearances, to the mind, these appearances are not out there. They don't exist with the object, isn't it? Yeah. It is the projection of the mind, right? Right. It is an appearance of the mind, isn't it? So, because we have to understand, we have to explain how everything arises from the mind, isn't it? It says everything is a creation of the mind. Everything arises from the mind, isn't it? Right? So we react to the appearances, these various appearances to the mind. Isn't it? We react and we believe, we get involved, and then then we experience the feelings of pleasure or pain.
What
So it is said that since you know, everything, since all phenomena arise in dependence upon the mind, since that's the case, then therefore it's important to gain a good understanding of mind itself, right, and how it works. Yeah. So therefore, that's why there's the presentation of Lorik, you know, right? That's why there's the study of mind and its functions. Yeah. So when our minds are not disciplined, then everything that appears, you know, the world, our environment and the people, everything appears as a suffering, as a problem. Yeah. But when the mind is subdued, disciplined, you know, there are, you know, people, there are people, those individuals who have trained their minds, perceive the environment as the pure land, as the celestial mentioned, and then, you know, the sentient beings as the deities. Yeah. So basically, I mean, these appearances happen basically depending on whether the mind is disciplined or subdued. Yeah. So therefore, that's why they say, you know, that they always advise in the teachings, right? Happiness comes from a subdued mind, and suffering comes from an unsubdued mind. From this, you can kind of say that, you know, whether it's an ordinary environment, a suffering environment, or a pure land, basically depends on mental perspective, yeah, how it appears, yeah, to the mind, isn't it? So if the mind is subdued, disciplined, then, you know, everything appears as pure and nice, like pure land. So it's coming from the mind, right? But, you know, when the mind is unsubdued, then, you know, there is the appearance of something ordinary, something that is filled with suffering and so forth. Yeah. So it comes from the mind, yeah? Right? So therefore, it is okay to say, you know, sometimes, right, the pure land is in the mind, the ordinary suffering world is in the mind, right? I mean, the pure land is not something separate from the mind, it's not far away, right? Or it's there, you know, kind of thing. Okay, so here we are going to look at the division of mind and mental factors, yeah.
Okay,
So, what is the difference between a main mind and a mental factor? A main mind engages in the mainly, engages merely in the entity of the object. Whereas a mental factor engages in the specifics, yeah, the features or the characteristics of an object. Yeah. Okay? But if you want to add a little bit more detail, perhaps we can say that the main mind is a knower, a mind that engages in the entity of an object by its own power, and a mental factor is a knower, a mind that engages in the features of an object by its own power. So let's take an eye consciousness apprehending blue. So the eye primary consciousness, which is the main mind, apprehends the mere entity of blue, right? And then there is a mindfulness, it's a mental factor of mindfulness, which induces a memory, a remembering of this blue, holding on to this blue. Yeah. So this the mind, which performs this function of holding, enables the mind, the consciousness, to hold on to the object without forgetting, you know, this mindfulness. So it's engaging an object by way of its attribute. Yeah. So it is a mental factor. Right? So, from the perspective of the mind apprehending the mere entity blue, it is called a main mind. From the perspective of the mind functioning to not forget the object blue, yeah, it is given the name mindfulness. Right? So you have an eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, and the mental factor of mindfulness in its retinue. Okay? the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, and the mental factor of mindfulness in the retinue of this main mind. Are these two one or different? They are different. You know, we talk about one and different, right? Okay, so you got the two things that we're comparing, right? An eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, and the mental factor mindfulness in the retinue of this main mind. So these two, they are not one. They are different, yeah? Right? But while they are different, these two, the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue and the mental factor of mindfulness in the retinue of this main mind, these two are different, but they are one entity. So these two are one entity and have different isolates. Okay. So perhaps let's look at the meaning of one entity. What does it mean to be in one entity? We say that things are one entity but different isolates, right? What does it mean? Yeah. So let's use a vase as an example, okay? A vase and the vase and the vase impermanence. These two are one entity. These two are one entity, but they are different isolates. That means vase and vases, that vase's impermanence, these two are different isolates. They are one entity, but different isolates, okay? So the vase's impermanence is one entity with vase, right? Saying that doesn't mean that vase's impermanence is vase. Saying that vase impermanence is one entity with vase does not mean that vase's impermanence is vase.
Right?
Okay, so vase impermanence is one entity with vase. But this doesn't mean that vase impermanence is vase. So let's think about one entity. What does it mean to be one entity? Vase impermanence is only found on vase. You're not going to find vase impermanence on a non-vase. Correct? Not. You cannot talk about vast impermanence, separate, completely separate, from the vast. Right? You cannot find vast impermanence on a non-vast, right? So we cannot posit vast impermanence on a non-vast. Can or not? Does vast impermanence exist on a non-vast? So vast impermanence cannot be posited as separate from the vast entity of vast. Yeah, you cannot be able to find a vast impermanence that is of a different entity from vast itself. Can or not? Nature, vast entity. Can't, yeah? You cannot find a vast impermanence separate from vast, yeah? Some of you look dazed. Some of you look like a Rafu deity, frowning. I see some people are frowning, but I don't know. So, like they say self and vast are one entity. Yeah. I'm also sleeping. Sorry, I thought I said something wrong. Yeah, self. What is it? Dark and kangsa means dark is self and kangsa is person. Oh yeah, self and person. What is it? So I thought that sounded funny. Anyway, self and person, kangsa dark. Okay, self and person are same entity. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So the self, the person, and the I, these are mutually inclusive, isn't it? Right? So the self and the aggregates, the five or the aggregates. So these two are said to be one entity. So you will not be able to find a self or a person that is separate from the entity of the aggregates. You will not be able to find basically a self that is exists outside the aggregates, separate from the nature of the aggregates. Nothing, not possible. So So you will not be able to posit a self that is of a separate entity from the aggregates. So there's one sentence here from the Abhidhamma Kosha which says that a mind and its mental factors are definitely simultaneous here. Right. And so the main mind and its mental factors are one entity. So one will not be able to posit a mental factor that is of a separate entity from the main mind, and just as one cannot posit a main mind that is of a separate entity from its mental factors. It's a bit tricky, it's a bit difficult, no? But if you think about it, when we think about mind and mental factors as being one entity, no? It's as if the basically, it's like, sometimes, it's like it feels as if that you're just calling one thing by different names. We're referring basically to one thing, but you're not just calling it different names, isn't it, right? So there are some scholars who said that basically the mind and mental factors are the same, and we're just calling the same one phenomenon by different names. In our system, we posit that mind and mental factors are one entity, but different isolates, yeah. So they are posited differently due to their functions, yeah. So basically, we don't assert that mind and mental factors are same. So in the text it says that the mind and its mental factors are one entity. Yeah? They are not different entities. Yeah. A mind and mental factors are not like a pillar and a vase. A pillar and a vase are different entities because you can talk about a vase that is separate from the pillar, separate from the entity of the pillar. And similarly, you can talk about a pillar that is separate from the entity of a vase. Yeah. So therefore, vase and pillar are separate entities, but the mind and its mental factors are not like that. Yeah. Okay?
Rangi 독신아 다 고양고 저거 주인도 가나 다 근데 샤나에 뒤뒤 왔다 다 저거 자실 선수 선수도 고 다대이 바로시 세부시도 했대
So in Gindun Group's text here, the first Dalai Lama's text here, the ornament of reasoning, the great treatise on valid cognition, he states precisely the definition of a main mind and the definition of a mental factor. Yeah. It's very, he makes it like very precise in order basically to, you know, for debate purpose. Yeah. So, you know, he states that the definition of a main mind is that which is that which is concomitant by way of the five similarities with the mental factors in its retinue. And the definition of a mental factor is that which is concomitant by way of the five similarities with its main mind. It's page 12, right? So a main mind is concomitant by way of the five similarities with its mental factors, yeah. Or with the mental factors in its retinue. So again, back to the eye and eye consciousness apprehending blue, and the mental factor of feeling in its retinue. So these two are concomitant by way of the five similarities. Okay, so regarding talking about this, concomitant by way of the five similarities, yeah, between the main mind and its mental factors, there's a slightly different presentation, yeah, depending on which tag you're looking at, yeah. So there's one explanation of the five similarities in the treasury of knowledge. And then, well, there's another slightly different explanation of the five similarities in the compendium of knowledge. So let's look at the explanation of these five similarities from the treasury of knowledge. And we will look at these five similarities using the illustration of an eye consciousness apprehending blue and the mental factor of feeling in its retinue. Okay, so what are the five similarities according to the treasury of knowledge? The five are as follows: similar support, a similar support, or another text says a similar basis. Yeah, so similar support, similar object of observation, similar aspect, similar time, similar substance. Okay, so the first similar support. An eye primary consciousness apprehending blue and the mental factor of feeling in its retinue are said to have a similar support. Why? Just as the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is generated independent upon the eye sense power, similarly, the mental factor of feeling in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is also generated independent upon the eye sense power. So in that sense, these two share similar support. This is just an illustration that we are using, but in the retinue of an eye consciousness, in the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, there are many other mental factors. We're just using the mental factor of feeling as an example, right? Okay. So the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue and the mental factor of feeling in this retinue, these two abide simultaneously at the same time, and when they disintegrate, they also disintegrate at the same time.
What to say? Chetan, da, da, to da, then chumba say di karsena, da, then de, da, pesin chumba, then chumba sa. Da, to say, then de, da, 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 kine ma, da, mikwa chumba say di, da, nipa, mikwa chumba say di, da, then de, onzi mikshin, mikin namar shiba, mikwa karsena, mumbara wa, onzi mikshin ki, mumbu mikin namar shiba, mikwa di mumbara.
So next is the similar object of observation. Yeah. So the object of observation of an eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is blue. Right? An eye consciousness apprehending blue is the generator independence upon the object observation blue, isn't it? Right? Similarly, the mental factor of feeling in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is also observing blue. So its object of observation is blue. So similar object of observation means that just as the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is observing blue, similarly, the mental factor of feeling in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is also observing blue. Just as these two have a similar object of observation, they also have similar aspects. Yeah. Just as the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is in the aspect of blue, similarly, in the mental factor of feeling in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is also in the aspect of blue. Okay, so main mind and its mental factors are also similar in terms of the time. Yeah. Okay. Right. So what does it mean? A mind and its mental factors simultaneous with respect to their production, abiding, and cessation. So the last one is similar substance. Yeah. So an eye primary consciousness is apprehending blue, and the, let's say, the mental factor of feeling in its retinue. These two have similar object observation. They're observing the same thing, and they're generated in the same aspect, isn't it? Right. So, in the retinue of this main mind, this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, there can only be one mental factor of feeling that has a similar object of observation, for example, and there can only be one mental factor of feeling in the retinue of this main mind, right, having the same aspect. Basically, you cannot have two mental factors of feeling accompanying that. I mean, the eye primary consciousness are bending blue. Okay, so this is what is meant by similar substance. Just as there's only one main mind, a substance, the mental factor of feeling accompanying that main mind can only be one. Yeah, so therefore they are similar substance.
Are you getting somewhere or are you not getting anywhere? Huh?
Perhaps it may be better for you to ask questions. If there's anything that you do not understand, Oh. Hey, about this one, yeah.
The fifth point about substance, distinct substances, can Rinpoche elaborate on that a little bit more?
Tam
As long as you understand the meaning of similar substance is enough, you know. The point is this. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. Perhaps some of you as well. It's to do with the word substance, right? Yeah, it's like a substance. What is a substance? You know? But the point is this. Just as there's only one eye consciousness apprehending blue, the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue at any one time, right? That one. So, in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness, there are many mental factors, right? So let's take the mental factor of feeling, for example. There cannot be two mental factors of feeling accompanying that eye consciousness. There can, just as there's only one main mind, there can only be one mental factor of feeling. So, that's the meaning. Okay, so in the retinue of this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue, there are the five omnipresent mental factors, which I cannot remember. Feeling, discrimination, intention, attention, and contact, yeah? Okay? So basically, there's only one each only. You cannot have two mental factors of feeling accompanying that one main mind. You cannot have two mental factors of discrimination or two mental factors of what have you, you know. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so as long as you understand this, then that's enough, yeah.
I think for page 13, I was able to understand until the point like until the last sentence. Therefore, their substances are similar. I got kind of mental block. Can you explain the word "there" means what? Their substances. So this the.
You see what I mean just now when I say what I said, right? I know what you mean because I was stuck on this for a long time as well, for years. So I just cannot understand what's substance, you know. Yeah, the word is
that.
The I primary consciousness is a substance. It is a composed phenomenon. So it's a substantial phenomenon. I don't know whether you can say that. Substantial phenomenon. So just as there's one substance, which is a main mind, so similarly, there's only one mental factor of feeling accompanying it, for example, as a substance. It's a substance. It sounds funny in English, right? In Tibetan, it sounds okay, you know, Zhe Chi. I don't know what to say already. So, as long as you understand the point, it's okay. You know? So, you know, whether it's substance or whatever. Ze.
Number
So when we say they are distinct substances, that means they are one. So they are substantially established as one, yeah, the main mind. So similarly, the mental factor of feeling accompanying the main mind is also substantially established as one.
So these
two are similar in being distinct substance. Distinct means they are one. One each. Okay. Substance.
Hello, Karen Boche. I just want to ask on page 11, right, on the top, it says that which sees an object is a primary consciousness, that which sees its attribute is a mental factor. It is trying to define the first sentence is a mind, the second sentence is a mental factor. At the bottom in the footnote, number 3, it says consciousness would also encompass both main mind as well as mental factor. My question is, should I break the primary consciousness as one term, which is mutually inclusive with mind, sentience, and
yes,
the main mind?
Yes.
Or should I break it up as a primary mind and mental factor?
Which one?
Because you see on the footnote, it says consciousness would
encompass. No. The quotation is primary consciousness, right? That which sees an object is a primary consciousness. So that's a main mind, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't break it up. Because you see the footnote, it says consciousness.
No. Primary consciousness and consciousness are different.
So it shouldn't be broken up. Okay.
Yeah.
Another question. Main mind is also a perceiver.
Which is an alternate translation for primary consciousness, yeah.
Do I take it as the perceiver that we know in the previous glory class?
No, it's a main mind. Perceiver and primary consciousness is a translation for Nambarshiva in Tibetan, which is a main mind, yeah.
So I shouldn't confuse this perceiver with what we learn in Lori.
This is Lori, yeah.
It's different, like. I mean, the tougher part of the Lori. The tougher part of the Lori.
Yeah, you're talking about the direct perceiver, that perceiver,
yeah,
right?
It shouldn't be confused. Okay.
Don't confuse.
That another question. Mind and mental factor. Throughout this lesson, it seems that they are the same. The word concomitant, could it be translated to mind and mental factor actually complements each other? Like a boyfriend compliments a girlfriend or a girlfriend another girlfriend, you know?
Some don't compliment.
Yeah, some don't. In a fairy tale terms, it should complement. But could concomitant be translated into the term complement or coexist?
If frankly speaking, I don't know what's the meaning of concomitant because it's been used by everyone, so I just use a thing.
Because the dictionary translation is complementary and coexist, but then the thing is, with the study of this, we can't use English as English, so I'm just confused. Could I translate it to coexist or complement?
Coexist.
One cannot do without the other.
Yeah, I mean, which means same and basically same entity, lah.
So with mind, there's definitely mental factor. With mental factor, there's definitely mind.
Yeah.
So, mind and mental factors are different, yeah?
Yeah.
Right? They're different, yeah. So,
but I don't know how different are they different. That's my other question.
Like the earlier discussion, you know, about one and different.
Yeah, I understand the one entity, but it's different, but different what? different in what?
Name, meaning. So remember, product and impermanent phenomenon.
Yeah.
These two are mutually inclusive, right?
Yes.
But they are different, right?
Yes.
They're not same, yeah?
No.
Okay. So here, mind and mental factors are different, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know how different they are different.
Then why is product and impermanent phenomenon different? They're different, right? You said they're different, right?
I don't know. Okay. I know they're different, but I haven't get to it yet. I still don't understand, but I know they're different. But so it's the same thing as mind and mental factor. I just need to go back and understand it.
So therefore, what was discussed earlier in the module about one and different is important to get it. Yeah. So what does it mean when we say something is the same one, and two things are different? You know. So.
Is it the different? We need to use the different term because we need to approach.
So therefore we need to know first what is one and what is different. What is their definitions? So in the case of product and impermanent phenomenon, they are mutually inclusive, right? But they are nevertheless different, yeah. Essentially these two are getting the same thing, same meaning, right? But from the perspective of it being and opposite from permanent, it is called impermanent. From the perspective of it being a reverse or opposite from non-product, it is product. In opposite from non-product is product. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 So from the perspective, it's a different isolates. Yeah. So it's a different to the way in which the names are imputed, are given, the process is different, yeah, based on the different reason, right? From it being an opposite from permanent, it's called impermanent. From the perspective of it being an opposite from non-product, it is a product. So these two are different, yeah. The names are different, right? So although these two are getting at the same thing, product and impermanent, but although they are essentially the same meaning, right? But because they are different names, so they are different. But whatever, if the two phenomena in comparison, even though they are different, it doesn't necessarily mean they have different meanings. Right? In the case of product and impermanent phenomenon, these two are mutually inclusive. Because they're mutually inclusive, therefore, they can have the same meaning, but having different names. But it's not the case that whenever you compare two phenomena, as long as they have different names, it means then they necessarily have the same meaning. No. So in the case of mind and mental factors, if we're not saying that mind is a mental factor and mental factor is a mind, right? These two are not mutually inclusive, but they are one entity. So these two are not one, mind and mental factors, these two are not one, they are different. Yeah. Okay, so these two are different, yeah, mind and mental factors. So these two, do they have the same entity or different entities? So we say that these two are one entity, right? Same entity, yeah. One entity, yeah. Okay, ready? No, okay.
I go by understand.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Kanyu Rinpoche, maybe I would like to pick from what you've explained earlier in the class. It says you were saying that for primary consciousness is a knower which engages entity of object by its own power, whereas a mental factor is a knower which engages characteristics of objects, features of objects, by its own power.
Mm.
So the entity will be what I think is overall of the object, maybe, and the features may be just one of the many features.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Meaning, primary consciousness is the whole entity that you are engaging
just
in.
Just the mere object.
The mere object, the whole entity. The entity of the object. Whereas the mental factor, you engage characteristics or features. It could be one of the many features
of the object.
Of the object, rather than the whole entity. Whole entity, meaning, from what I understand, will be all the characteristics, all the features.
I'm trying to understand through that angle.
Yeah.
So you're trying to ascertain whether when we say we know an entity of the object, does it mean that we know all the features of the object, everything about it, right? And whereas a mental factor, and is a mental factor only a knower that engages only in one of those many features?
Or two, or three, or the ten. But only partial.
You got the question?
If it's not the entity.
Oh, yeah. Like what you mean, collective engager.
Everything.
Yeah,
exactly. So if it's not, then what you mean by entity of object then?
Stuff. Stuff.
No. Cup, round cup.
Cup and round cup, cable yoro. Then a cup and round cup, big cup, small cup. Cups no more, big cups no. Cable. Did you love me?
Mumbul.
Tak blue.
If we use the object blue, yeah. So the eye, what is what? Eye primary consciousness observing blue. I mean, blue is the entity, right? So if blue is the entity, yeah, then what are the features of blue? It is nice, it's not nice, it is dark, it is light. Okay, then what is the entity of navy blue? Navy blue, right? Then what's the features of blue? Gorgeous, ugly?
Talk to Luma. Soup. Hip down, cut up.
So I can't say exactly, you know, because it's not so straightforward, yeah. A main mind and its mental factor, have a similar object observation and similar aspect, isn't it? It's clear, yeah. A main mind engages or knows the mere entity of the object, right? Whereas the mental factor in its retinue engages or knows the peculiarities of the object, the features, the different features,
right? Mipa kala mipa tenashin samjung de tele mikiya mo an so sem de ge mikin na mombo mikin na bar shaba mombo de pan nashin samjung de aj ki ya no vaste ko de samjung de tin za ta mo ri ki ya na mikin na bar shaba mo ri ki ya na te ko de jina chwa de mo de je ko
de rang tong de so a main mind in his mental factor have a similar object or observation and a similar aspect, isn't it? So, just as the eye primary consciousness apprehending blue is generated independence upon blue, observing blue, isn't it? Observes blue, yeah? Similarly, the mental factor in its retinue must observe blue, right? Then what does this eye primary consciousness apprehending blue know? It knows the mere entity of blue, right? So just as it knows blue, the entity blue, then the mental factors in its retinue must also know blue, right? Know blue, which is the entity, right? So basically, whatever the main mind knows, the mental factors in its retinue also knows.
Yeah. 다 랑도기 머리바스 랑도기 잡아리바스 어디자 구두소 다시 말했습니다.
So for this reason, therefore, in some texts, it is mentioned that it is not sufficient to posit a mere mind to be a mind that knows the mere entity of an object, and that the mental factors knows the peculiarities or the features of the object. It's not sufficient. Rather, you have to add the word by its own power. So therefore, in some texts, they say that you have to posit a mere mind to be that a knower that knows the mere entity of the object by its own power. And the mental factor knows the features of an object by its own power. You understand? You follow? Huh? You follow, right? So therefore, you see, in the definition of what's the definition of doubting consciousness? A knower that has qualms two-pointedly by his own power. Doubting consciousness is the mental factor, right? Isn't it? So, and so this doubting consciousness is in the retinue of a main mind, isn't it? So let's assume that this main mind is a mental consciousness. So this mental consciousness, which has doubting consciousness in its retinue, this main mind also has qualms two-pointedly about the object. But it doesn't have qualms two-pointedly by its own power. The main mind doesn't have qualms two-pointedly by its own power. So therefore, in some texts, it's mentioned that both main mind and mental factors both know the entity of the object, both know the features of the object. Right? So, but the main mind knows the entity of the object by its own power. The mental factors also know the mere entity of the object, but not by its own power. The mental factor also knows the mental factor knows the features of an object by its own power. The main mind also knows the features of the object, but not by its own power, right?
또 지도가나 내 섬사도가 섬도 섬중수도 찍만했어. 그럼 맞다지. 섬도 섬중수도 배제다 거하려고 자야지. 어때?
So for this reason, therefore, if you think about it, and the main mind and the mental factor in its retinue are not the same, not one. They're different.
맞다다가나 시래다. 그게 조심해서 때가나 무보 라베나.
So then back to blue. Yeah. So blue is the mere entity, the entity of blue. Yeah. So maybe we can posit the features of blue to be nice blue, ugly blue, or blue being nice, blue being ugly, you know. Whether we can, yeah. Huh? Yeah, well, whatever about blue, like, you know. And what about short blue, long blue? Bright blue, dull blue, whatever.
Oh. have two questions. The first one is this. The definition of a main mind that is given on page 12, the one that is from Gedun Drup's text, yeah? When you first introduced this, Ken Rinpoche, you said that it was a definition that's used in debate. I wanted to check if, for example, a question came up in an exam and we are asked to give the definition of a main mind. Is this the definition that we must use? The reason I'm asking this is when I look at this definition, it doesn't seem to tell me anything about what a main mind is. It's very different from the definitions that we were learning when we were studying the sevenfold consciousnesses. You know, the definitions gives you a lot of information about what that mind is actually doing, whereas this particular definition doesn't seem to do that. Whereas on page 11, just before the qualm and response, there's something, the paragraph just before that, it says, a main mind is a knower distinguished by mere observation of the object itself and does not need to be posited in terms of the other attributes. Can that also be seen as a definition of a main mind? So that's my question. Are there different options with relation to how a main mind is defined? Or we must stick to that definition.
So, you know, the earlier explanation of a main mind and a mental factor, you know, from the perspective of what they do, yeah, that is just for an understanding. It's to help us understand what exactly is a main mind, what exactly is a main mental factor. The definition that is in Gyanrin Rup's text, that is a matter of establishing the boundaries of pervasion, what is and what is not, you know.
Then my second question is this. In relation to mind and mental factors, when we were learning the different divisions of functioning thing, where we learned the presentation of consciousness, there's the sevenfold division, and there's also another way of dividing consciousness, which is mind and mental factors. So I think some of us are having difficulties in terms of we are trying to mix up these two presentations or ways of division together. For example, the earlier question asking whether the primary consciousness is a direct perceiver, for example. So my question is this. Should we keep the two presentations completely separate from one another? Or is there any area where the two of them actually, you know, there's some common locus between the two kind of division and categorization?
You're talking about which?
The sevenfold consciousness that we learned, that we've been studying, and this presentation, which is mind and mental factors, right, is another way of categorizing consciousness, right? Because that was what was shown in the table, you know, functioning thing, division of functioning things.
Basically, are you saying this? There are different ways of looking at mind.
Correct.
One way is looking at mind in terms of mind and mental factor. If it is a consciousness, it's either necessarily a main mind or mental factor. So the question is, if it is a consciousness, is it necessarily one of the sevenfold division? Basically, that's the question, right? If it is a consciousness, is it necessarily one of the sevenfold division?
I assume that the sevenfold consciousness presentation was exhaustive.
Yeah, so basically whether it's exhaustive or not. Lah. So that's the, basically that's the...
Yeah, what I'm trying to ask is there anything that we can carry over from what we learned from the sevenfold into mind and mental factors, or we should put, you know, mind and a sevenfold consciousness in one compartment in our mind and lock it up, and then we learn mind and mental factors on its own as its own presentation?
So the sevenfold division of consciousness that we are presenting mind is just to understand mind in general, the general procedure of mind, you know. Whereas, you know, in the study of mind, main mind and mental factors, the emphasis is on the mental factors, yeah. And the study is done by identifying their respective entities, you know. Right, because these, like, you know, we study about the 51 mental factors. There's a what afflictions, virtues, mental factors, and what have you. So to learn them individually, you know, by knowing their individual entities. Yeah, and of course, you know, if we talk about anger or attachment or whatever, you know, then obviously you can definitely connect it to the sevenfold division, isn't it? I mean, you know, if it is anger, what is it, you know? It's not a valid cognizer, right? Yeah, so within the... So yeah, within the mental factors, here we are only talking about 51, right? I mean, so many, virtues, non-virtues, yeah. And of course, within them, you know, there are subsequent cognizers, and there are some that are valid cognizers, there are some that are, what do you call it, wrong consciousness. Rinpoche doesn't like the word wrong consciousness, I remember. I kinda whack one time. Rinpoche is in number so far. Wrong consciousness. Anyway. Lopsi.
Kevin Pushe, can I clarify with you on page 11? There's this definition about the mental factor, that which taking the observation of that very object as its basis, engages the object by means of the isolates of other attributes, such as its function, is called a mental factor. And then when I look at the footnotes, right, you see this Tibetan word isolate that's being translated is tokpa or something.
Yeah, tokpa.
And then it means, like, indicates a double reversal or double negation.
Yes.
Therefore, can I conclude that the word isolate can also be understood as opposite of non blah blah blah? So that means a mental factor actually engages the object by means of understanding the opposite of non blah blah blah.
Oh.
Alaya, you didn't make a shit chinese.
Make a shit chinese?
그런 독발이 가려서 대마인 말이 높아지
독발권의 수도가 어떻게 당신으로 가
대마인 말이 높아지
독발을 기재했지만
그때
기재했지만 출신도 독발이지 않았다 주주신기 독발이지 않았다 수도가 나한테 독발이 기재했다 기와가 도와 독발이 기재했다 태양 소수 기와가 태양 사우시나 유속다 보시면 대박이 왜 세도 안 되고 이 왔다가 또 마스터라 태양 사월 시나 세도 유속다 보나스 대박이 왜 조선다 대고 대만이 소라 미반 중장 소스 조반이스 요즘 뭐 좀 되고 선다 되게 녹차야 되고 라 미저버시 지레게 차네 대박이 조금 인기 세도 되게 녹차는 高的 不 받아 다들 마이너스야 강 天上少些了，所以叫做不多。你多少不？多少地几块了？多少地地些的嘛？地几块来说的？天上少些了，可是呢，云接吧，接呗，地多些了，是吧？多少？嗯。那吧？地浅了，是多少些？多少是？多少是？多少？ 等到天了，等到这个地些的，等到这个，等到这个不计较了，可是天上少些了，谁多？多，所以到我是你们这边解决做生产，这块天把你那边嘛，村长，做说是交办的谁多？有时间我讲的话，生产，那没结果，去吃那个。 차내 세 집안다. 잠바시 좀 이게 세. 또 뒤에 시도 그 집안.
이 mean the paragraph right above that. You know, just as it has been said. That whole paragraph when explained more clearly is the one that you find So, you know, just after it, the whole quotation by from Joseph J's text, right? And on page 12, it says to explain this clearly. When the mindfulness of an object, for instance a form, is produced, the two, the mind and the mindfulness in its retinue, are similar in observing the object form. Nevertheless, they are posited separately. The knower of the mere entity of the object form is called mind, but from the point of view of the function of acting not to forget, then it is called mindfulness. So that is isolated, right?
So,
So, okay, so then.
So,
So in the next lesson, we will look at the five similarities as described in the compendium of knowledge. We just go through that quickly and then hope to finish the five omnipresent mental factors. Yeah. But it would be good if you can read up on these five omnipresent mental factors. Yeah. Because I think that the best way to conduct class is through Q&A. So you read beforehand, and then you come to class, and then we discuss, you know, through Q&A. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just, So everything has been translated. Everything is there, right? It's translated. Yeah. So what I think the best approach is always this. You because it's translated already, you should read. You know, then you come to class, and then you know if there's anything that you do not understand from your reading, then you ask, and then I can maybe make it clearer. So I think this is the best approach to. Otherwise, we just read everything in class, then it's a bit difficult.
Can I ask you one more? On page 11, at the bottom, the definition of a mental factor is a knower that taking the observation of that very object as its basis and it engages the object by means of the eyes. It sounds very much like a collective engager. Is it? And if it's not, what is the difference? As in, like, it sounds very much like how a direct perceiver would see a thing. No?
So, to rephrase the question, to know an object, to know the mere entity object, does it mean you're knowing it collectively? Everything about the object. Is the mind engaging everything about the object? In essence, is that
right? Yeah.
So it's not exactly like that, right? So in terms of eye consciousness, an eye consciousness is a non-conceptual consciousness, right? Is a collective engager, right? But eye consciousness can be a main mind. It can also be a mental factor. No? Right? So, that being the case, so there are mental factors. So basically, the mental factors in the retinue of a non-conceptual consciousness, such as the sense consciousness, those mental factors are also sense consciousness. Yeah. So having said that, so you cannot say that, therefore, all mental factors are illuminative engagers, whilst all main minds are collective engagers. You can't say that, So, just as an eye consciousness apprehending blue is a collective engager, all the mental factors in the retinue of this eye consciousness are also collective engagers.
they are answering your question. The number two at the table, the other.
Trouble.
Chabar requires to the Koyachi. More requires to Canada. Chabar requires the Sin Sinju Lot of Shuquato Shu, Kokoso Tinemares.
So basically, you should not understand, you know, you should not think that a main mind is a collective engager, necessarily a collective engager, just because a main mind is a knower that knows the mere entity of an object. You shouldn't think that a mental factor is a eliminative engager. Right, just because it engages or knows the features of an object.
I'll keep next class. Thursday.
Okay, we'll finish. So,